Turn with me this morning to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. First John chapter 1. We're coming down to the end of 2018. And I can look back over the year, and you can look back over the year. I don't know all that you've done. You don't know all that I've done. But there's one thing I'm sure of that we all have done. And that is we've all sinned. Our year was filled with sin. We sinned by the month. We sinned by the days. We sinned by the hours. We sinned by the minutes. We sinned by the seconds. Every instant filled with sin. We sinned in everything that we did. We sinned in everything that we thought. We sinned in every motive that rose up in us. Everything was tainted with sin. And the problem is, our sins are against God. Somebody said, there are no little sins because there's no little God to sin against. And we've sinned in everything we've done, thought, and everything, because sin is what we are in ourselves. We became sinners in Adam. When Adam fell, the Scripture says plainly, when he sinned, all sinned in him. We're sinners by birth. We come forth from the womb, sinners. There's no age of accountability. The fact that men and women, male and female, die from birth right on up is an evidence that they're sinners. And we sin by nature. I was looking at a hymn, and I just caught a line of it. We don't sing it, by the way, but I just caught a line of it. And the line was, I've forsaken all sinful pleasures. How foolish. We've got a nature of sin. We delight in sin. The Bible says we come forth from the womb speaking lies. Truth is not natural to us. It's not even known to us until God reveals it. We just, by nature, speak lies. We'll say, preacher, I don't lie. Well, that co-worker that you work with, that's treated you so bad, You think so little of her? She comes into work the next day and you say, "You look nice today." That's a lie. That's a lie. You don't really think that. How many things do we say that we don't really mean, that aren't really true to us? David said, "All men are liars, me included." And sin will be finished with death. The soul that sins shall surely die. And here we are. We spent a whole year, all our years, all our lifetime. But just looking at 2018, we have characterized our year by sinning. And it is an awful thing, an unimaginable thing, an awful thing to die in our sins. That's what Christ warned us of. "If you believe not that I'm He, you shall die in your sins." And if we knew what that involved, it would drive us to instant insanity. What awaits us by a holy God? What awaits us by divine justice? To be eternally separated forever and ever from God, from all good, from all peace, to be punished eternally, world without end, to have no hope, no prospect of it ever being better. To die eternally. To die eternally. To die to God. And to die to all good. And to die to all forgiveness. And to all peace. And everything that characterizes God's grace. Look here with me in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness for at all." That's the God we're having to do with. God is light. He's everything holy and righteous and perfect. And in Him is no darkness at all. Then John says this, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." We lie. If we say that we, as sinners and in our sins, have fellowship with the thrice holy God in ourselves, we lie. People talk about knowing God, believing God, loving God, trusting God, but they walk in darkness. And they lie. God says that they lie. But listen at verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." John speaks here of some that have been cleansed of sin. I didn't come along in the eraser board generation or the projector generation. I wasn't one of those who had to write on a piece of slate. I'm not that old. But I did see and write and watch others write on what we called a blackboard. And really all that was a big piece of slate. But I remember how at the end of the day, the teacher would take, she would call upon some individual student to erase the board, and they'd take those old erasers and go to that chalkboard and they would erase everything that was written on it. And when they got through, it would look worse than it did before. And then ever so often, she would have some student take a bucket of water and a rag of some sort, and they would wash that board. Remember how it looked? Most of you that old. It wouldn't look anything like the job that most of the students done trying to erase it with those erasers. It looked just like new. Just like when we started the year. They'd take that cloth and wash it, rinse the rag out in water and go over it again. And it would just look wonderful. It'd be a clean slate. You ever heard that expression? Starting with a clean slate. That's where it came from. But the problem is that you and I, in all our efforts, in all our good intentions, in all our sincerity, in all our best works, we're just like those students that use those hand erasers. We just make a mess of it. And we have no way of making a clean slate before God. Those that John describes, 9 times he calls them little children. He's talking about the children of God. He's talking about those little children that are born of God's Spirit. And as all the Bible is written, this 7th verse also, he speaks of we and us. We and us. And you do well to find out in this book who God means when He talks about we and us. He's long-suffering, not to everybody, but to usward. Not willing that any of that usward should perish. This book is written to God's people. They're described in various ways here. But in this particular instant, they're described by this, those who walk in the light. Walk in the light. And it seems like every commentator, every preacher tries to make that be some kind of moral conduct. You walk in the light. You do your best. You obey God. But they make that as conditional. If you do this. But oftentimes when it says if to God's people in such passages as this, it means also since you walk in the light. Those people who walk in the light. Could we ever imagine that we could walk perfectly in the flesh or walk so as to be received or forgiven based on our conduct? Could we dare say that we've done that in 2018? Never happened. Could we even say that we would ever be able to do that? Walk in such a way as to please God. Walk in our life and conduct in such a way as to please God, as to be accepted by God, as so to have our sins forgiven. Paul said, if our righteousness comes by doing, then Christ is dead in vain. But he says here, if you walk in the light, you find forgiveness. The light is here contrasted to darkness. And the people contrasted. The people who walk in darkness and the people who walk in the light. There are many kinds of darkness. But when he speaks of the light, he speaks singularly. Many walk in darkness, but some walk in the light. Light. And light in scriptures, in the scriptures, light has reference to truth. To truth. That's what Christ said. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's truth, the truth. He's life, the life. He's the way, and he's the light. Turn over to 2 John Chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Look what John says in this epistle. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Walking in the light is walking in the truth. You say, it says, as we receive commandment of the Father. Let me ask you, can you find anywhere in this book that God says he will accept a sinner and bless a sinner based on their obedience to his command? Just one. This is my commandment, that you believe on my Son. Look over in 3 John. 3 John in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. They walk in the truth. That means that they seek all their acceptance, all their salvation, all their deliverance from their sin, all their forgiveness, everything based on what God says. They walk in the light. They walk in the light. And Paul says in Ephesians, he says, "For ye," there you go, that differential, "for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." What is it to walk as children of the light? It's to walk as all the true children of God walk. It's to walk as the Bible says we are to walk. We walk, we live by faith. In other words, our hope is altogether in what somebody else has done for us, done in our place, and done according to all that pleases God. Those who walk in the light walk by faith in Christ. They believe what God says concerning His Son. They trust Him alone for their entire salvation. They believe that Christ is the Savior. And they believe that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is according to what the Scriptures say, plus nothing. Nothing. I'm amazed at how many people cling to the bywords of the Reformation. Grace alone, the Scriptures alone, Christ alone. And then they leave that to go on and tell what else must take place. What else must be done? No, that's it. Grace alone, the Scriptures alone, Christ alone. And that's why Paul said this. He said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Other men can waste their time on everything else. They can set up moral goals for people. They can try to figure out a way for a person to establish righteousness. But I'm going to preach Christ and Him crucified. And these believe God because the Spirit of truth has convinced them of sin and revealed to them Christ crucified and what He accomplished on their behalf as their substitute. You see, that's what it means when it says they walk in the light as He is in the light. There's a lot of people talking about Jesus Christ. A lot of people using words like righteousness and every other kind of word. But this is those who believe, who walk in the light as He is in the light. And I'll tell you how Jesus Christ is in the light. It says, "Lift as you go to a program or a show, and they beam that spotlight to the star of attraction out front. And the light is nowhere but on them." That's what the Scriptures do. It's the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. It's not about man. It's not about devils. It's not about prophecies. It's not about all these other things and theological terminologies. It's about Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And they believe the Spirit of God who has convinced them of their sin. They know that they're sinners. That's all they've done. If God has convinced you of your sin, you know that all of 2018, as well as all your life, you've been nothing but sin in yourself. But He's revealed to them Christ crucified and what He has accomplished. As He is in the light. There's one thing I'm absolutely sure of. And the Bible, it is that the Bible, the true gospel, tells you, points you, and reveals to you what Christ has done. You won't ever go back and look at an old profession in religion again. You won't try to add good bricks on a sorry, worthless foundation. You won't try to add truth to all your errors. You'll confess yourself for what you were and are, and that is a sinner. It's how He is and what He's done. Not in our tradition. Not in that false religion that we're in. Not in our feeling or according to our feeling. Not as we think He was. But as He is in the light. I show you a distinction. There was a man who had leprosy. You've heard of him. His name was Naaman. He was a captain of the Syrian host, evidently a brilliant general. Everything good, wealth, poverty, prosperity, trust from the king. But he was a leper. And God gives us this man as an example of what we are as sinners. Because leprosy was a disease, is a disease of the blood. It is a disease that permeates the whole body and covers us in our entirety like sin. Well, he's a little maid tells him, "Wish you were down in such and such a land so you could hear the prophet." Don't you think he had prophets before? He had prophets of his own, but they had done him no good. And she said, "The Lord's prophet is down here in a land, and you do well to go down and see what he has to say." So he went. And all that the prophet would do for him was to send out a messenger to him. And the messenger stood out before this Syrian captain and his host of soldiers and said, "The prophet said for you to go and wash in that river Jordan 7 times. And be cleansed." "Oh, I rode all the way down here for this. When I get back, I'm going to have that maid's head." He said, I thought surely the prophet would say thus and thus. He'd wave his hand over the spot. He'd do a little hocus pocus. He'll lay hands on me, anoint me with oil, something. Well, he says, go river, go wash in that dirty river. When in the land I'm from, we got rivers that are pure and clean and shining like crystal. And he's talking about this muddy Jordan. I thought that's always a sinner's problem. I think. But it doesn't matter what you think. It's always going to be what God says. And all the way up to this point, he's walking in darkness. Until God enables him through what these men say. They said, Master, if he told you something hard to do, you'd have done it. If he told you to give him $20,000, you'd have done it. That's the way men are. That's why all these preachers around have jets and all such things. Fabulous houses, big cars. And always need new ones. See, if you'd thought, if he'd told you to give him a bunch of money, if he'd told you to go out and quit doing something, abstain from the, if whatever it is, you'd have done it. But he told you to just dip in that Jordan. The Bible says that he went down to Jordan and did as God said. And he dipped himself in that Jordan, that muddy Jordan. How can that muddy, how can the death of somebody save you? But he came up that seventh time, and the Bible says his skin was like a baby's. He was cleansed, but not the way he thought. You see, it says Christ is in the light or the truth or the true gospel. And that is good news to sinners. That's glad tidings to the sheep who will hear his voice. The Spirit opens their eyes and removes Satan's blindness. And he uses the true gospel to do it. He shines the light in their hearts. And he exposes what they really are. And he reveals to them the person and work of Jesus Christ. They stopped singing that song that they were taught by little religious children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You don't have any light. You were born in darkness. And it isn't until God comes to where you are and shines the light of the truth in your heart that you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look over here at 1 Corinthians. I mean 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He didn't decide to go into ministry. God gave him this ministry of preaching the truth. He says, but we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan brings all kind of darkness to hide the light. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's the only reason that we know the truth. That's the only reason that we can say what we say. That's the only authority that we have. It's because God has shined the light of the truth in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The revelation of the light in Christ is not the light like a flickering candle, or even one of these high-powered flashlights. Not the light of a strobe light that shines in brilliance. It's the light that's compared to the sun. He's the sun of righteousness that rises with healing in his wings, in his beams. He outshines every other light. He shows every other way to be darkness, all other so-called truth to be light. Just lies. That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. And that's what happens to everyone God saves. They find out this news. They find out this promise. They find out this truth that is so amazing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, a lot of people don't like the King James. But I like it especially for one reason, that ETH on the words, cleanseth. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed, is cleansing, and shall cleanse us from all sin. It always will. Before we know it, knew it, it already had. It's the only thing that can. You see, the blood here says so much. It's the blood of God. He purchased the church, Paul told the Ephesian elders, with his own blood. He's deity. This is the blood of God. This is the death of God's Son. And it's His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's sinless blood. He knew no sin. He's the spotless Lamb. He's separate from sinners. He dies as the just for the unjust. And importantly, since it's the blood of God, since it's sinless blood,
is sacrificial blood. Sacrificial blood. His death was a sacrifice for sins. And he, as the surety, was held accountable for the sins of all God's sheep on the cross. That's why Paul says to us, you were bought with a price. He gave his life a ransom. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's what this is all about. Christ's death is the only death, is the only sacrifice that can blot out our transgressions. And this is what the light of the truth of the gospel says, that this is what he's done. Turn over to Hebrews 9. I'll hurry. Look at verse 14. How much more? He's talking about here all the blood that was sacrificed on Jewish altars, all the animals whose blood was shed. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That word purge means to cleanse, to wash away. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ has this effect on the believing conscience. It causes us to be rid of every other hope of salvation. We look, we think, our conscience convicts us. And we try this hope and that hope and this remedy and that way. None of them work. But when the Spirit of God shows us what Christ accomplished and what His blood, His death, that's what it means. His death is a life poured out. What does it do? Cleanseth us from all sins. Now, I don't think there's a one of God's people that doesn't suffer in some way with the remembrance, with the conscience for something or some things that we've done in our life. We can imagine God forgiving us of all this and that and the other, but there's this one thing. One thing we've said, one thing we've done, so bad that we cannot forgive ourselves for it. But that wounded conscience can only be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Was it a big sin, you think? His was a big sacrifice. Was it something horrible? Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. It's total. It's entirety for all kinds of sins. And all sins in their entirety. Look farther in verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness. All through that first moment after Adam fell in the garden. When God slew those animals and covered Adam and Eve with those tunics of animal skins to show the imputed righteousness of Christ, His death for their sin, all through the Bible to the coming of Christ, every lamb that was slain, every goat, every heifer, every bird was saying, this is the way God cleanses His people from sin. These sacrifices point to the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's cross death was the work He accomplished alone, which purged and cleansed us from our sins, and that's why He could say, it's finished. Verse 26, for then must He often have suffered if His sacrifice was like theirs. He had, as a priest, suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Where did they go? They went away. Like a debt when it's paid. He says, I've hid them behind my back. I cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. You may remember them. People in this world more so might remember them. But God says, I won't remember them. I'll remember them no more. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Isaiah recorded what God would declare and say. He said, He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. What was it? That coal off the smoldering altar where the sacrifice had been made and offered, accepted of God. Now the coal. That coal has light. So He touched my lips and said, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. We walk by faith in that truth. We live by faith. Our consciences are continually cleansed by it. 2018. It was a perfect year. It was a perfect year according to God's ordained purpose. It was just perfectly what He wanted. And I was perfect in it. I was perfect in it. All my sins had been put away by the blood of His cross. He goes in 1 Corinthians 6 and He says, no liar, no idolater, no whoremonger. He gives a great long list there, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then He says two things. He says more, but two things. I love to hear it. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. You are washed.
His people, all that He died for, all who walk in the light of the gospel of Christ crucified, have a clean slate before God for 2018. And we'll have the same in 2019. And forever. Be like that old blackboard. Won't be filled with chalky yellow dust, white dust, where men have tried to clean it themselves, but it'll be washed. We'll have a clean slate. Clean slate. They're made the righteousness of God in Him. So that in the Revelation, when it speaks of Jesus Christ, it says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That makes for a clean slate. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is good news to sinners. We pray, Father, this morning that You would receive our thanksgiving and enable us to believe this more, to trust Christ more, to rest in this, to rejoice in this promise that is good, that is yes and amen in Christ. We thank You for our God-given Savior. We thank You for His cross work. We thank You for Your mercy. We pray in His name. Amen.